welcome to the Pocket Gamer Podcast. It's episode number 504. My name's James Gilmore. Joining me today, it's Matthew Ford.
Hello.
Hey, you're going to be providing all of the pep, because despite the fact we've recovered from the tiredness of last week's PGC episode, I have gone down with the lurg in the meantime.
Oh, no.
Yeah, well, I thought I'd gotten away with it, but it turns out, no, it was just sitting there waiting to pounce on me over the weekend. So apologies if I sound a bit croaky and hoarse. I'm on the up from it all. I'm far more interested in the fact that Rick Cowley, our returning editor for PG Biz, has gone off to do interview/business things, meaning that Matthew is in charge of the site.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, as listeners can imagine, he's already said it's been renamed to just it's smash.biz.
Yes.
It is just wall to wall, Smash Bros. If it ain't Smash Bros, it doesn't get covered.
Absolutely. You know, only the best.
Only the best and most incredibly specific fan site nonsense.
There's a little bit of Pokemon thrown in there. You know, they're in Smash Brothers. You know, I'm covering all bases.
I, for one, welcome our new Smash Overlords.
Thank you.
Good stuff. Well, I'll look forward to reading what insanity you've posted later. But we're going to get straight to the news, because we've got an absolute boatload of it this week. We're going to catch up, because last week's episode was a bit short. We're overcompensating here. So we got the arrival of a brand new Monster Hunter game on mobile, or at least the announcement of it. We've got Switch news. It smashed the SNES. Where will it go next in terms of sales? We've got Pokemon Home and its appearance. We've got an update for Grim Valor. We've got a new Lovecraft game coming out. Rollercoaster Tycoon Story, Company of Heroes, all of this coming in the news. Plus a whole bunch of new releases, including the likes of Might and Magic Chess Royale, Disgaea 1, Dungeon Faster, Pico Tanks, and more. But first, the news. So I guess the last big Monster Hunter game to hit mobile was Monster Hunter Stories, which was a slight diversion from the core series, which was this, you know, hardcore third-person action game where you spend 50 minutes, I should say, in a fight and then don't necessarily win. And you have to learn all the things that the monsters do, and it's brutal, but it's multiplayer and it's also brilliant once you get stuck in. Monster Hunter Stories took a more sort of story-based approach to it, I guess. It went a little bit more anime in its stylings.
Yeah, that was the 3DS one, wasn't it?
That's right. It was 3DS, but it also came over to iOS as well and Android. And it turned it into more of a turn-based affair. We've got another installment of a mobile-only version of the game, which is called Monster Hunter Riders, which has just been announced and is going to be going live in Japan, we think, in February. It's not the first Monster Hunter exclusive we've had on mobile, because there was one I remember that was played in portrait mode, which I did a video of. Can't even remember its name, which might be, you know, saying something about its quality. But this one looks like it's dovetailing off of what Monster Hunter Stories did. It's got the same kind of anime style. It looks like it's much more of an RPG, and has human characters and their monsters that they ride around and grow and all of that. Because remember, there was this kind of Pokemon collection aspect to Monster Hunter Stories. We're slightly limited in the info because we've got a video up that's in Japanese. And we don't have a release date confirmed for the West yet. You've got the DS and all that Nintendo business. Did you dabble with the Monster Hunter? I don't think we've talked Monster Hunter before.
I don't think we have. No, I've dabbled a little bit with Monster Hunter World, which obviously has done ridiculous numbers for Capcom. I think Monster Hunter is like one of the best-selling franchises now.
It is, we've said before, but it's the thing that single-handedly saved the PSP, basically, in Japan, because no one was buying enough units of anything to justify it. And then they released Monster Hunter 2 on it, and it became this absolute phenomenon, and that's why people were buying a PSP.
Mm. Now, and interestingly, it's sort of started to move over to more like the handheld platforms. Well, it did for a while, and now it's come back with the World, which I think became Capcom's biggest selling game of all time.
Wow.
It was a bit contradictory, wasn't it? Because it said February, but then it said winter.
Yes.
And then on top of that, there's a Monster Hunter movie in the works. I don't know if you've heard of this.
I did see that. Isn't Mila Jovovich involved, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's her and Paul Anderson?
It's her husband. Paul W.S. Anderson, not the good Paul Thomas Anderson. It's Paul W.S. Anderson.
Yes, the people that made the Resident Evil films.
It's going to suck. Well, he has a long line in video game movies, because the Resident Evil franchise was the thing that has proved most successful for him. But he also did Mortal Kombat. That was him. Well, and that's a very bad kind of a good bad film, that one.
I was going to say, they're all pretty good bad. Like, the first Resident Evil was like, I'm not saying any of them are good by any stretch of the imagination, but like, they're sort of fun in a way. They're like, your brain off.
Struggle to get on board with those movies. I'll defend Paul W.S. Anderson to the grave for Event Horizon, which I really like, which is his only good film, and everything else is trash. But that's a different podcast. So we'll see if this does appear in winter. Either way, we'll probably get the Western announcement at some point, because I'm sure it will make it to way over to our shores. But it all looks very sort of, yeah, JRPG-ish and flamboyant and over the top, and I'm up for taking a look at it. So App Store and Google Play in Japan later this year, but you can pre-register now. There are links we've got if you want to go and take a look and just watch the trailer for funsies. Let's talk sales for a moment. So the news that you published here was about Nintendo Switch, wasn't it? And it's fairly decent sales record.
Yeah, it's not doing bad, is it? 52.48 million sales of the Nintendo Switch in less than 3 years, which has now seen it surpass the SNES.
Yeah, I actually pulled up the sales figures for all consoles just to see how this tied in, because yeah, quite right, it's outselled the SNES, and that's the lifetime sales of the SNES. Obviously, we're only 3 years into the Switch. It places it kind of just below the NES, which did 60 million. Mm. The 3DS is up to 75 million globally. And as you can imagine, that's, again, lifetime sales. It's been out since 2011, the 3DS. And the Switch has managed 52 million in just 3 years. It's done an insane amount of business. I am so impressed with the way that they've been able to bounce back after the kind of catastrophic-ish failure of the Wii U, which, to put that in comparison, its total lifetime sales, 13.5 million units for the Wii U.
Yep, and I was one of them.
That's nuts.
Like, yeah, it is crazy, but I think Nintendo seemed to always do this a little bit. If you look after the GameCube, which GameCube is one of my favorite, you know, consoles of all time, sales wise it wasn't good, but then it bounced back with the Wii.
Yes, they're constantly yo-yoing all over the place, they are. But I mean, you want to talk about big Nintendo successes, Game Boy Color, 118 million, that sold. And then a number two only to the PlayStation 2. The PlayStation 2 is the king of units. It shifted 155 million units worldwide, right? So it's the most successful selling console of all time.
Mm. It cheated a little bit, though, because it was basically a DVD player, and that's why people bought it.
Yes. Oh, yes, I'll give you that. But unbelievable amounts they used to shift. And that is number one. Number two is the Nintendo DS, the original Nintendo DS from 2004. 154 million units. It's only 1 million behind the PlayStation 2.
Oh.
And then that's the Game Boy. And yeah, so Nintendo have killed it in the past, and they have killed it with this one. So fair play to them. And this also comes off the back of news that they've been able to do $1 billion in revenue on their mobile games.
Yeah.
So this is all the stuff that's appearing on iPhone and Android.
Yeah, it's been a bit slower than expected to get to that number, to be honest. Mm. I mean, if you think of the wealth of IP Nintendo has, and I wouldn't say it's been massively successful. I mean, basically, it's down to Fire Emblem Heroes. Without that, they're really not doing well.
Yeah, they've struggled to find the right tone for the game. They've struggled to find the right genres, and they've struggled to find the right payment system, really. And they've dabbled with all of it and keep coming up short. I'm just looking at the little Sensor Tower info here, and Fire Emblem Heroes, as you can say, right up the top there, were 656 million. But down at the bottom here, like way behind everything else, Dr. Mario World. Oh, 4.8
no,
million only.
It doesn't deserve the R.
It got smashed.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Dragalia, that's sort of hovering around the second highest, so same as Animal Crossing. But my God, Fire Emblem Heroes is just leaps and bounds ahead of them. The other two are on like 120, 30 million, and then you know, Fire Emblem Heroes is up there at like nearly 700 million. So leagues ahead. They haven't been able to replicate that success.
No, and you know, Dragalia lost. It's a brand new IP as well, which is huge for them. And the other crazy thing is, you know, in fourth and fifth place are Mario games. Like, you'd have thought Mario would have run away with this.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. So, but again, it just speaks to how they haven't quite been able to find the right way to monetize their favorite IPs, their favorite characters. So I'm still waiting for that Zelda game. I'm still waiting to see what they do with that. I bet they're holding back and trying to make sure they get that one extremely right, because it's been a very lukewarm reaction to Mario Kart Tour, I think. And unless that picks up in the next year or so, I don't know what they're going to do, what avenue they're going to proceed with. But we do know that Pokemon Home is coming to mobile and Nintendo Switch finally, and they put a price on it. So it's going to be $15.99 a year. Now, this is the thing that links all your Pokemon stuff together, right? And where you can store them and move them around. Is that correct?
Yes, I believe so. It's very complicated. We got the press release through and we were trying to work it out, and it's not the most straightforward of systems. You can move all your Pokemon from your 3DS, which is the Pokemon Bank, which people were paying around $5 a year. The price has now gone up to $15.99 a year, and you can only move your Pokemon one way. So if you take them from the 3DS, put them up to your Switch, you can't take them back, if you see what I mean.
Right.
There's a free version, to be fair, I'll point that out, but you can only store, I think it's 30 Pokemon maximum, and that's not great at all, because there's 150 Pokemon in Generation 1 alone. I think there's nearly 900 now.
Yeah.
And then you can get the premium version, which lets you have up to 6,000.
That's one way to incentivize you paying the fee. I just find it strange that this whole thing exists and it's like a separate service where it's like a storage locker for the characters for one game that you have to pay a subscription for. But this has been around for a while, isn't it?
Yes, that's what Pokemon Bank was. I mean, that was introduced, I don't know, DS, 3DS cycle? It's been around a while. I've got a friend that uses it, has been paying for it for years. I've never touched it myself because I always think it takes away a bit from the games, because, you know, you start a new game when a new entry comes out, he only just like catches the new Pokemon. So say there's only like 70, 80 new ones, and then he'll just transfer all the Pokemon he's caught before to the game. But I'm like, well, I'm happy to catch them all again because, you know, it gives you more to do.
Yeah. Odd one. Well, it's going to be out in February on iOS and Android, as well as Switch. So you can find links on the original site if you want to pay cash to not play the new games as much. I don't know.
Nearly got it.
So, whatever. So let's move on to more straight mobile game information. Grim Valor, which was this very, very Dark Souls-ish side-scrolling game. Which we covered, did the review over on PG last year. It's actually pretty decent. It wasn't last year, it was 2018 actually. Came to Android last year. And it uses the same aesthetic. It's that kind of dark fantasy thing, but it's got a more Metroidvania side-scrolling aesthetic to it. But it's actually quite a decent one. It was a nice riff on the old Dark Souls thing. And it is currently working on a new update, which is going to give it a new Game Plus mode. So it'll probably ramp up the level of challenge massively. You should be able to bring over your new character while taking on the new bit. We're guessing, because they're doing a new Game Plus, which is obviously featured in all the Souls-like games. You can do a new Game Plus with, you know, Dark Souls or Bloodborne or whatever. So given the inspiration it's taken, we're assuming it's kind of doing the same thing and pulling the same inspiration for its update. You also get a bunch of new language support and things like that. But this is one where it was a premium game. It was £5.99 or $5.99. So it's nice to see them coming back with additional support to bring more value to it, if you see what I mean. So if you do have it and it's still on your phone, maybe that's worth a look, checking back in the not-too-distant future. I don't know the exact date, but when it does appear, we'll let you know. Another thing is some New Cthulhu. I had to mention this because I do like my Cthulhu, because Lovecraft is, as people have said before, my problematic fave. And there's a Lovecraftian comedy horror game which is coming out for iOS and Android in the not too distant. So it's called The Innsmouth Case, and it's a point and click choose your own adventure kind of deal. You are hired to investigate the disappearance of someone called Tabitha Marsh. I'm taking this from Cameron Bold's story. And then you get shipped off to Innsmouth, which, if you're a Lovecraft fan, you know Innsmouth and what that town is all about. And then you'll find weird creatures and terrible things will happen, and probably fishy creatures will do weird things to you in your brain. Do you mess with Cthulhu?
I don't. I haven't tried a Cthulhu game. This might be the first one where nothing is what it seems. That's the catchphrase.
That's the slug line. Yeah, that's probably about right. But I grew up with the RPG, so it's all about sanity, and basically anything you get exposed to sends you gradually more and more nuts, because the fragile human brain is not meant to encounter these terrible things, which is the kind of horror that I've always enjoyed. So this looks like it's having fun with it. It's got great art. That's what I'm really like drawn to here. It looks like it's presented like a book on a table that you're, you know, reading, you're flipping through. But the artwork is superb, and I'm really hoping that the story and the writing lives up to it.
Yeah, it's very cool. Do all the games have multiple endings then? Because I see this one has 27.
They're claiming 27, yeah. Well, I mean, so the RPG, as in the... We're talking about a tabletop role-playing game here. So that's, you know, people making it up on the fly and writing adventures. So, you know, there's no such thing as, like, multiple endings. It's just what happens. When the games come into play, there's been a few of them. There was a very good first-person PC one, just called Call of Cthulhu, I think, that was released in the early noughties. That was quite decent. And I know that there's been one from last year that got released where you play the detective noir angle going to a house. I think it's just appeared on Xbox Game Pass, and I think I'm going to play it via there. It's appearing in February, so I'm waiting for that to appear, and I'm going to have a bang on it, because it got mixed reviews, but I'm still interested. I like this, where like combat in Cthulhu is generally a bad idea.
Okay.
Because these are weird, timeless creatures that will just mess you up, and killing them won't really do you much good in the long run. Sometimes you do have to, but often it's about getting away from the terrible thing that's driving you mad, which I always liked, and I think is what reverberated with me about things like Silent Hill and stuff like that, where you're not supposed to engage in combat. If you do, it's like a last-ditch effort thing, because you've already lost if you're going into combat, because you're just going to get damaged, and you're just going to go more insane. So run away, run away.
Fair enough. Where does the comedy come from in these games, then?
I don't know. Well, it's not a comedy thing, but they've decided they're going to throw some bants in with it. Whether that works or not, again, horror comedy is a very, very difficult balance. Only a few stories have got it right. Only a few movies and things like that actually managed to nail that thing. So we'll see if they pull it off. But we've got until spring, apparently, to wait for it. So it's going to be iOS and Android. We're definitely going to keep a close eye on it. The Innsmouth Case is the name of that one. And another game that's appearing in the not too distant, so 13th of February, a couple of weeks from now, Company of Heroes is going to be turning up on iPad. Now, this is a PC strategy game that came out in 2006, and it is World War II RTS. So it probably explains why it's only coming to iPad.
Yes.
They tend to do this with things like, it was a while, I think, before Rome Total War. I don't even know if it's available on iPhone now. I think it is. But they always start with the iPad because it's got that bigger screen and it's a little bit easier to replicate. And then they have to fine-tune it. Just how small can we make this? And then they move it over to mobile later. So that's what they're doing here.
Gives it a bit of scale as well.
Yeah, yeah, it does. And apparently it has been redesigned. It's not just a straight port. It's been optimized to work on tablets. You've got a new user interface for the touchscreen and all that kind of thing. But it was very, very warmly received back in the day. I went back and double-checked the reviews, and it was reviewed well. People really liked it. So if you like your top-down RTS business, you'll be able to get it, along with additional missions and skirmish maps. So it's kind of like getting the DLC included in with it, if you like.
Mm-hmm. Who's the developer of this?
This is developed by Feral Interactive. They've got it for $13.99 or £13.99 on the App Store preview page. And we've also got a list of compatible iPads as well. So if you're worried about yours not being able to cut the mustard, basically, if you've got anything above an iPad Air third generation, you're probably okay. So just keep an eye on that. And we'll check back when it goes live and see if it is any cop. Also, a Roller Coaster Tycoon game came out. It's called Roller Coaster Tycoon Story, and it is a match 3 puzzler.
It's pretty horrendous. I'm just gonna say that now. it's not what we want from this series, let's be honest.
It's but all the match 3 things, they're all on train tracks though, because of roller coasters, right? And then you do it, and then you build up the roller coaster park by matching colours.
Ugh.
I mean, I don't care.
I don't know. That's what I mean. Does anybody?
I've played so many Mashu puzzles, but it's still, you know, one of the most popular and easy to get into genres available on any platform, really. The reason people keep making these games is because everyone and their gran understands it now. So you've got such a massive user base.
What are Atari doing, though? Because, like, they just seem to be, like, shipping off their products and not sure what to do with it. Have you seen this week, actually, they've said they're going to be building hotels? Like gaming-themed hotels?
Yes, I did see that. Now, hang on, Roller Coaster Tycoon, I want to check and see if it is. Does Atari still own this?
I'm pretty sure.
Because at this point, as people have pointed out, like, Atari aren't really Atari. It is the reanimated corpse of Atari being puppeted by evil businessmen. But hotels? Themed hotels?
Yes.
All right, what?
Yeah.
Oh, no, you're right. It's still being published under Atari. All right, then, well, even more reason for me not to pay any attention whatsoever. So, Roller Coaster Tycoon Story, it's a match 3 game, and out and about this week, let's start with Spell Tower Plus, which is a revamped, relaunched version of Spell Tower, which came back in 2011. So, this is an older game, but it was a genuinely brilliant one. So, imagine a word search, but Tetris.
Okay.
That's pretty much all you need to know. Letters come falling from the top of the screen, and then you have to recognize the words in them, and you recognize the words, and then those words explode, and so it allows more letters to fall. So it literally is just Tetris, but a word search. It was great. This version gives you more content, more modes. You can get that right now. It's on iOS at the moment. We'll see if it goes over to Android at a later date. Now, something I've been playing. So I took a run at a couple of games this week. The first one being Dungeon Faster, which came out on Android, I think, last year. And it was one of the best games that came out on the platform. It was one of the best games that came out on mobile, full stop. And it was like in a lot of our top 10 lists and things like that. And it is a dungeon crawler slash card-based game. So it's a bit like, if you guys remember Dungeon from a few years back that I really liked, it's got that Minesweeper-ish top-down grid. You're tapping the squares in the dungeon that you're in to reveal what's underneath. And it might be gold, or it might be, in this case, teeth, which can be used for currency, or it might be the trapdoor that you need to escape, or the key that you need to unlock that trapdoor, or it might be a giant spider monster. And then you have to get into a fight with it and terrible things happen. But also, at the bottom of the screen, you've got a bunch of cards that you can then play. And each of your characters, you play as one of about 5 characters. I think I was playing as a paladin. And they have a card deck that they get shuffled around. And as you use them, you can play individual cards that will allow you to maybe boost your attack or heal yourself or launch fireballs at your enemies if you're the mage or something like that. So it's a mixture of tactics, card game stuff, a bit of Minesweeper thrown in. Really nice art style that reminds me of that slightly Adventure Time look.
Yeah, I get that.
It's beautifully animated. When I initially turned it on and played the tutorial bit, I was like, oh, you're throwing a bit much at me here. It was one of those ones where it very quickly throws about 6 mechanics at you and you're like, oh God, I'm never going to remember this. But then you just play the next 2 rounds and you're like, yep, no, I totally get this. I get what this is. And this is great. And it's very Moorish. And when you beat someone in combat, it's very satisfying. And then, like with Dungeon, you got that lovely gambling aspect where when you're tapping to uncover the different tiles, you might, on your very first tap, uncover the exit. And then on your next tap, you might uncover the key, which means you could technically just immediately leave that level if you wanted to. But you're missing out on loads of stuff, loads of treasure and things that you should probably grab and loads of perks that might help you later on in the game. But equally, if you do tap going looking for treasure, you might just uncover a monster that beats you and then you're back to the beginning. So it's a lovely, like, ooh, risk reward, do I, don't I thing. And I liked it in Dungeon a lot. I like it here, and the card stuff adds a nice few layers to it as well. So Dungeon Faster is the name of that one. Been out on Android for a while, but iOS now available. We really do recommend you have a look at this one because it's a banger. I'll step away from new releases for a bit because you've been playing a game for a while now. We've waited to talk about it till you've got your eye in on it. But it's another one of the very good new releases from the end of last year, I think, again, right?
Yeah, so it was an Apple Arcade launch exclusive. I believe it's still exclusive. It's Capybara Games' new title, Grindstone. And yes, I love it. It's fantastic. I interviewed Greg Miller of Kinda Funny just before Christmas, and he was just banging on about the game nonstop. So I was like, oh, I've got to give this a go. So it's a puzzle game. It's not a match three, but you're basically connecting up the monsters. You're controlling this Viking called Jorg. I think that's how you say his name. J-O-R-J. And you have to connect up all the monsters and slash them to unlock grindstones, which are these shiny gems. And you take them back and you power yourself up. You get arrows to take out more monsters, shields to protect yourself, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very, very satisfying. You basically have to connect up 10, and then that unlocks a grindstone, and then you can connect more up to take out monsters. Yeah, it's very colourful, very bright, very addictive. I'm loving it so far.
When you say connect up monsters, this is still a colour matching game essentially, right? So you have to connect up a chain of like coloured monsters in order to unleash your attack, right?
That's correct. Yes, you've summed that up much better than me right there. You've got a variety of monsters, all different colours. You touch the order you want to, take them out, and they all have to match up. And then Jorg basically just goes haywire and takes them out, and it's...
Which is class, because I'm watching the trailers, and I'd seen a bit of this from last year, but you effectively end up drawing these zigzag patterns on the grid, and then you release, and then he just mashes his way through all these enemies. And it's another one that's got an art style that it's a little bit Adventure Time. It's a little bit that slightly odd, not quite creepy, but weird art style.
Yeah, and it's very risk versus reward, like the previous title, because you have to defeat a certain number of enemies to unlock the door and progress to the next level. But you don't have to leave. You can continue building up your grindstones or unlocking chests by getting a key. And there's all these little extra mechanics hooking you on to stay longer. But as you do, the enemies get more angry. So if you step next to an angry enemy, it will attack you. And you've only got 3 hearts. So it is very touch and go. Do you stay? Do I go?
Yeah.
It's well worth a play.
Well, Cappy are great because the thing they got known for was Sword and Sorcery EP, which was this lovely, melancholy point-and-click adventure. But they've also done things like Sound Shapes, which we covered a year or two ago, which was really, really good. And now this is shot to the top of a lot of people's lists. So Apple Arcade only at the minute. Grindstone is the name of that one.
Yeah, I actually got to interview the guys. Cheeky plug. So there's an actual interview up with them on Pocket Gamer Biz at the minute. I spoke to the game director.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, go and check that out over on PG Biz. Back to this week, we've got Pico Tanks, which is the other one that I played from the list. So this we got an early look at Casual Collect in London last year, and this is kind of fun. So 3v3 tank-based brawler, top-down-ish, where you are taking control of just the one tank. You are then teamed up with 2 other players online, real-time, and then you take out another group of 3. Different type of modes. I've been mostly capturing the flag during my first set of games, but what this does really, really well is it gets the fluidity of combat, the desire to stay moving at all times and not just hide in cover, which is not necessarily hand in hand with a tank game. Because if you play tank games, you know, tanks by their very nature, they're very slow moving, they're very methodical and deliberate, and it can be sort of slightly difficult to convey a heart-in-your-throat real-time combat fight that can play out in 3 minutes. Really, you should be taking like half an hour to strategically place your tank from, you know, half a mile away and then taking pot shots over a hill or something like that. But although the tanks move slowly still, but they move slowly and deliberately, it's just one stick to move the tank around, and then the other stick where you can drag in the direction you want to fire, and it does a little projectile line, and then you release and it'll fire, or you can just tap that button, same button, and it will auto-fire at the nearest tank. So you go, all right then, and you start playing the game, and maybe you're using the auto-fire because it's nice and easy. You get 3 charges, so 3 bullets, basically, and then they recharge very quickly over time. So you can go bam, 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 but then you have to wait for a little bit, just a couple of seconds, for the first bullet to recharge. But you quickly learn that while it's easy to just tap the button if you're very, very close to the tank, your enemy target, if you just do that auto-fire thing, it shoots at where the tank is. And then naturally, if they're a little while away, they'll have moved away, and often it misses. So you have to start using the drag control to anticipate where the tank will be when the bullet connects. And that's where the fun really comes. There are little power-ups you can grab, so you can pick up health packs and things like that to try and keep yourself alive. It's a real nice sense of teamwork when everybody is like roasting one particular tank in your space or something like that. The maps are nice and contained, so there's not that feeling of you having to cover miles and miles You know how sometimes with when you respawn, when you die, and then you have to trudge for like 50 seconds to get back to where you were?
Yeah.
There's none of that. It's all nice and tight and compact, so it keeps the action moving along at a nice, brisk pace.
Nice. I like the designs as well. They're quite creative, and like some of them like hovercrafts.
Yeah, yeah. I've only done a few upgrade stuff, sort of upgraded my turret and my main body and stuck a few things on, because there is that metagame sitting behind it, which is build up your tanks and add loads of stuff. It's a free-to-play thing, obviously, so I don't know how long it is before the grind. I actually played this for like well over an hour, just smashing things up, and was really enjoying it, and didn't get hamstrung by any free-to-play business. But I just like the pace. It's quick and it's immediate and it's fun, and there's something about the bullets that makes it feel weighty, very satisfying when you blow folks up.
Good one to take your anger out on at the end of the day.
Sure. If you want to unleash the Brexit Day rage, then by all means, have a look at Pico Tanks. This is one that's come out on iOS and Android, free to play, but definitely worth your time, I think. We've also got a couple of others, so I don't know if I've played this one, actually. Back when the Chess Royale thing was making noise, and this was back towards the middle end of last year.
Yeah, it's still doing quite well. I mean, like, I still think it's a bit of a craze. What's the big one still in beta? Is it Dota?
It's the Dota. Yeah, the Dota one. So they had their chess game, which, again, was originally based on a mod that someone had done. Like, let's make Dota, but make it a bit like Battle Chess. And then the folks who made Dota went, that's a great idea. And then made an actual official kind of version of it. We've now got Might and Magic's version. So it's called Might and Magic Chess Royale. And there's been the kind of the big battle between who's done the best one. Because after the Dota, loads of others started appearing and everyone's trying to get their foot in. And so this is Ubisoft's entry into it.
Ah.
And Dave Aubrey has been the one who's been taking a look at all of them. You can find a lot of comparison articles and rundowns of each individual game if you're interested in that kind of thing. He thinks it looks decent, but maybe not the best. So he's saying changes enough of the small things about the auto chess genre to make it one of the best entries, if not the best. If you've enjoyed the previous ones, we're thinking it's maybe worth taking a look. But perhaps it doesn't take the crown. So Might and Magic Chess Royale is the name of that, if you fancy a look. And also, this I find interesting for a number of reasons. So, Disgaea 1. It's out right now on iOS and Android. This is the game from 2004?
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, the original was PlayStation 2 and yeah. DS, I think.
So, this is the year of the Nokia N-Gage. And onto the PS2 struts this extremely over-the-top, high-camp, tactical RPG. Called Disgaea, which has now spawned at least 5, if not more, entries. I think we're up to 5 now, aren't we?
I believe so, must be.
And you've got all the JRPG business of the over-the-top storylines and the characters shrieking at each other. This time it's got a supernatural bent and it's all about fighting to get back into the underworld. It's all...
Yeah, Netherworld. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Netherworld, that's it. And instead of it being that kind of 3v3 standard JRPG combat, this is much more of a tactical one. So this is you getting thrown into a map and moving folks around and doing that kind of unit placement stuff instead of the standard combat. And it became very popular.
They are a very popular series. I think, they've done a few million sales, like, as a whole.
It's now out on mobile. Now, in terms of what they've done to it, I'm not 100% sure. So it looks to me like it's just a straight port of the game. I'm sure bits have been optimized. The thing that's very interesting to me is that it's £32.
Whoa.
On both platforms, which is obviously a bit pricey. Now, they've gone the route of, look, it was a premium full price game then, and it's a premium game now, and we know that JRPGs and whatnot, and obviously we're talking about Square Enix here, tend to put up the price of their old classic games because you can get that sweet nostalgia buck. Mm-hmm. My only concern here is the same stuff we've been talking about before and last week, which is I'm not sure about paying £30-something for a game on a platform where it's digital only and we don't know how long they're going to support it.
No, that's a very fair criticism.
A good example of this with the JRPG things is The World Ends With You, which was a game that was ported over from the DS originally.
That's right.
And
it's on Switch now.
On Switch now, yeah, brilliant. And hopefully that'll be playable for a lot longer than it was on iOS, because you kept not being able to play it. So it would be supported for a while, and then they would make a change to iOS. So you go from iOS 6 to iOS 7 or something. and then it wouldn't be playable for a bit, and then it would be, and then it wouldn't be, and it kept going backwards and forwards, and now it's just not playable. And we keep seeing games, you know, losing out on support after a period of time, and that now makes me more wary than ever about spending, like, large amounts of money buying a mobile game.
Mm.
I mean, obviously, you can get your money's worth out of a game if you spend 99 pence. I mean, like, that's nothing. Even if you play it for a week, you've still got your money's worth, more than your money's worth, I'd argue. But when it comes to 32 quid, I'm like, in 2 years, are they just going to turn around and be like, oh, no, Apple's changed their policy on this and that, or, the you know, iOS has been updated and we can't afford to support it anymore, so sorry.
Well, the other thing is the game's been brought to Switch and PlayStation 4. So if you're going to pay for it, like, surely if you want it on the go for this level of quality and stuff, maybe mobile's not the best place for that price?
It's not the quality that bothers me, because I'm sure, well, I don't know, I haven't played it. It might be a good port or a bad port, but you can do brilliant ports onto mobile, and some of these things work just as well, if not better, on the touchscreen. So it's not the form factor that I'm worried about. It is just purely that platform thing. If it keeps changing, and we see too many examples of games not being supported either because it's not possible for the developers to fund it anymore because it wasn't as successful as they wanted it to be, or changes on the structure of the platform itself make it very difficult to keep it working. You know, so you're supporting 1,000 different screen resolutions now, even on Apple, which used to be just, it was just the iPhone. And then the iPad came in, so you just had to worry about two different aspect ratios. Now there are loads of different versions, and Android's even more fragmented, so it's, you know, it's tougher to support these things. So I would just worry that, like, I've paid 30-something quid, and then how long am I actually going to be able to play that for on this?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully for that price they will support it, but as you say, history has shown sometimes otherwise.
Well, that's not to say anything about the game. I know it's a beloved series, and I haven't played this because it's not on our account, and I'm not about to spend 35 quid on it. So, question mark as to how well it's done. I'm sure we will have someone looking at it over on PG. But you can get it right now if you want to. So, iOS and Android, Disgaea 1 Complete is the name. Okay. That's us for this week. Do come back and join us again next week. We'll be chatting more mobile business, games, news, and reviews. Thanks for talking to me today, Matthew.
Thank you for having me.
We'll catch you all next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.